Ready?
Evening, everyone. I'd like to welcome you to tonight's regular city council meeting. December 5th, 2022. You'd all please rise. Private invocation, asking for God's blessing upon this city and wisdom as our city council makes its decisions tonight. Now, if you'll please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I'd like to move to item 1D, which is citizen input on our city council meeting tonight. Any citizen tonight would like to address the city council? Yes, Jake Mendez Jr.
Jake Mendez Jr., I'm an activist for the community of Othello and an ACLU Washington member. There's two things I wanted to point out. I wanted to add on to the comment I made regarding the parks. I also want to include, if there's any way to include people in wheelchairs to be included in some activities that's designed for them to be at the park to where, you know, they could play some activity games that's equipped for them at either park, either the Lions Park or the Kiwanis Park as well. That's one thing I forgot to mention from the last meeting. Second one is during the fireworks, it seems like a few residents here had their dog missing. And I verified with one of the employees at the Adams County Pet Rescue, it did confirm that there were a few dogs missing. My only thought would be is if there was like some kind of warning shot, instead of all going a mile simultaneously, just to kind of alert that, you know, fireworks are going to go off in 15, 20 minutes, just to prepare the residents around that location to be prepared to get their dogs, you know, set up for fireworks. And also just some information to where they could have dogs that are new, you know, to fireworks sounds, to get to where they could hear the sounds prior to fireworks so that this way they could adjust to it. Some dogs already adjust to the sound. They're already used to it. Just saying for those that are new dogs, puppies, to just be aware that, you know, what triggers them is the flight and flight mode is what these dogs react, and they bring up a high anxiety when they hear those fireworks fall. So I'm not in any way requesting the fireworks to stop. That's totally up to you guys. I mean, I'm neither in favor or in favor of it. However, the parade was pretty good. The fireworks were pretty good. And that's all I got to say. Thank you.
Jake. Is there any other residents who'd like to address the city council tonight? Okay, hearing none, I'd like to move to item 1E, which is our roll call. And I believe Angel Garza's on the Zoom call. Angel, are you present? Just sending me a text saying he was, maybe he got disconnected. Maybe he got disconnected. Well,
I'll make a motion to excuse Mr. Councilman Garza until he hops back on if he doesn't.
Thank you.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. I'd like to move now to the approval of our agenda tonight.
Mayor, yes. I have a question about something that's in the consent agenda. I don't want it pulled out,
Because I don't want to discuss what's in there other than one comment that was made in it. I'd just like to know. Okay, what it says in there, it says the council approval isn't needed for a $30,000 change order. And I'd like to know how anybody can figure that.
Was that for this change order on?
On the SC. And
SCADA. On the SCADA.
By legislative issue.
I'm not questioning the change order. I just am questioning how it is that somebody thinks the council approval wouldn't be needed for that.
It said it was provided to us just for informational purposes.
I mean, you're bringing up I know we've had lots of change orders come through over the years, Corey.
I'm not so sure this is a change order. It was called a change order, but I think it's actually purchase of equipment to create. They're looking at creating a license agreement for the radio system. So yeah. We talked about it somewhat in council. Mm-hmm. And it's a much more reliable communication if it's licensed rather than if it's just an open band. So
so it's a city initiated request then. We initiated the request. Or the change. It wasn't like a contractor said, hey, you forgot to put windows.
Was Abner working with you, Kurt, on this?
The change order is generally on an engineering project or city project, normally don't come back to council till the end of the thing, because change order has to be approved usually during the construction. So normally a change order wouldn't be something that you come to council with. But Sean and I have discussed this. We wanted to bring everything for you guys educational so you know as it's going along. This particular one was just an adding of another seat for the software instead of one computer. We have two. And then the antenna to make it a complete system, like you said, licensing on the reservoir. That's all this is added to the SCADA project.
So basically, where I'm coming from, it's going to take a $30,000 budget adjustment. And I mean, maybe I'm confused on it, but $30,000 on top of a contract should require council approval. There's a certain percentage. I know there's a certain percentage written into contracts for overages, and I don't remember this contract at all. So I don't know if that fits within that percentage.
Yeah, it's 10% or something. It's below the percentage.
Okay. So this actually came up a while ago.
Right.
And Kelly was in Kelly kind of answered it. And I started researching the RCWs, which I'm sure that's kind of what we're following. Basically it came down to there was some ambiguity in the RCWs on how you could go and how flexible. Now, the mayor and his staff have always been good about asking for authorization and council buy-in. Yeah, I think it's more based in my interpretation on the wording of the memo, which is fine. But I would like to see, and I've emailed the mayor some language for him and Kelly to look at, some language that says, you know, roughly change orders that result in final contract costs in excess of the bid amount. It's a contract change and it needs to come before council, and that's a legislative issue that requires council approval. But I did research this one. I dove in deep, as deep as my pea brain can go anyway. And so I do think there's some cleanup language we can put in our LNC that I intend to propose to the council after the mayor and legal look at it.
So Well, I guess I want to be clear on what does the council want as far as, okay, so we're in the middle of a project that you guys have already approved and funded. And now there's something that has come up, which does from time to time on the project. So does that mean we're going to stop the construction on the project because we need the $30,000 change order?
Well, see, you're saying something really important. Though. We've approved an amount, and now it's $30,000. $30,000 is a lot of money.
Right. You know, agreed.
Yeah, it just...
So that's a great question, and actually in that... That proposed language, I address that to where the mayor or the city administrator can address those. So where it's in the best interest of the city and would be detrimental, say if we had to wait 3 weeks for a city council meeting because we just didn't have one, but the contractor was going to have to demobilize and remobilize, or we weren't going to have an operable system that would be a health safety concern for the city. Mm-hmm. The mayor's ability and through reasonable exception would be to be able to make those decisions and ratify or codify it at the next city council meeting through a resolution. That I addressed a lot of that. So I think that if you read that, all those questions are answered to where it gives the mayor flexibility or the administrator flexibility to make those decisions without council and just bring it back to council in those long lead situations.
Well, also, Kurt said, there's a percentage that is allowable to not bring it back. It has to be over a certain percentage of the contract amount. Okay.
Up to $100,000. I'll just give you a quick $100,000 or 10%.
Normally, that's a contingency of any project. Yeah. You always throw in a 10% contingency.
Yeah, $100,000 or 10%, and the mayor can make the decision. So if this was a $350,000 project, it was a $30,000 change order. The mayor could sign off on it and ratify it the next council meeting through an administrative decision. I addressed that in there too.
So your language is just going to clarify all of that from the RCWs, and then we don't have to worry about it.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so that being said, what Corey says is right. The balances you put together for our budget purposes with the red zone items and everything that we're approving for what the balances were from the budgets. Have you accounted for those adjustments?
For what balances? Of like projects that we've done partially this year?
Well, every budget item that you've put in for the budget for 2023 has an ending balance, correct? And that's an amount that you forecasted based on what was actually put in to be spent and has been spent or will be spent.
Yeah.
So we're adding $30,000 to a project, a red zone item project that we put in for last year. Is that going to balance the budget, the number that you've given us for this year? We have to take something out of the red zone items.
Oh, no, we don't. We built this in, talking with Abner maybe a month ago, quite a while ago. We talked about this project and where it might go. And so I believe we discussed this project and the possible overage in one of the committee meetings.
So your balances in the budget reflect
that. It's in there. Yeah, sir.
That's all I'm asking.
They reflect that.
And I would just say that once we have the wording, the verbiage, the approved and everything, that in the future, if anything goes as a project change order into the consent agenda, that there's just some kind of note in there that it meets the criteria of percentage, whatever we call it. Whatever part of the code that we're using, that it meets that criteria so that there's no confusion.
Okay. I do want to say, though, that Sean is doing exactly what he said he was going to do here, and that was he was going to inform the council when there was a change order on the project, and that's what he says here on the form. So the motion, this agenda item is listed in the consent agenda. When council approves consent agenda, they will acknowledge the contract change order for this project. So what he's, this is his mechanism to inform the council that we had to, that this project went more than was originally budgeted or approved, and so it was going to go over. So, yeah, appreciate the input. So with that,
I'll make a motion to approve the consent agenda.
We didn't vote yet.
Right.
So all those in favor of approving the agenda tonight?
Aye.
Opposed?
Yeah,
who was the second?
I'll second.
Okay.
There was, I thought there was a motion and a second. Okay.
Now we're going to approve.
Now you can make a motion to approve the consent agenda.
I'll make a motion to approve the consent agenda.
Second.
Thank you. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. On our current business item 4A, we have the pleasure of welcoming Holly Kochi, the city's lobbyist, for a discussion tonight about preparing for this next legislative session. And Holly, you are going to do a short presentation and informational for the city council and take questions.
And I'm
going to
keep it really short.
Okay.
Good evening, Council. Thank you, Mayor, for the introduction. But I am Holly Kochi, the city's state lobbyist, and really serve as your eyes, ears, and voice in Olympia. So thank you for having me this evening. We can go to the next. So my goal is to provide you all with a quick recap of the legislative process, what we expect to arise this upcoming 2023 session, and lastly, to briefly go over the legislative, the city's legislative agenda or priorities for this session. And we can go next line. Yeah. So starting first with what we can expect for the 2023 session, you'll recall that the legislature operates on a two-year cycle, and 2023 will mark the beginning of that 23-25 biennium. It is the first year of the biennium, meaning it will be a long session beginning on January 9th and lasting 105 consecutive days. During a long session, the legislature has two primary tasks. The first is to develop and adopt operating capital and transportation budgets for the 2023-25 biennium. And as a reminder, the operating budget is what funds the operations for state agencies, including the K-12 education system. The state budget forecasts that are released on a quarterly basis provide key information as state lawmakers and the governor prepare to write a new two-year budget. The state's most recent revenue forecast released last month projects revenues for the current two-year budget cycle at almost $762 million higher than expected, and about $681 million more than anticipated for the coming 23-25 budget cycle. This most recent forecast will really shape the governor's budget proposals, which are released right before the legislature convenes in January. So we're expecting to see that here in the next couple of weeks, hopefully. But overall, we expect a robust operating budget, but anticipate the legislature will be cautious about new spending. And then we have the capital budget, which funds brick and mortar construction of state facilities that are not transportation related. It is funded primarily through the sale of bonds, and the size is relative to the size of the operating budget. We're expecting a significant capital budget, with the legislature prioritizing investments towards behavioral health and housing. And then we have the transportation budget, which funds the construction and operation of the state's transportation system. And historically, it has been primarily funded with gas tax revenues. But the recent passage of the Climate Commitment Act, or Cap and Invest program, has created a new revenue stream for investment in projects or programs that can reduce carbon emissions. Transportation budget writers will also be focused on providing guidance for implementation of the Move Ahead Washington package, as well as what they passed last session. In addition to the budgets, the legislature will devote much of their time to considering and adopting policy bills. traditionally we see a few thousand bills be introduced and around 300 to 400 actually make it to the governor's desk and approved and signed into law. We knew that the outcome of the November election would determine the political split of both chambers. There were over 25 legislators who chose not to seek re-election. The state did not see that red wave that they were expecting, and the November elections resulted in the Democrats gaining one seat in the House and one in the Senate. The redistricting process also occurred this year, which has shifted the city's representation into the 15th legislative district, which includes newly elected Senator Nikki Torres. She is a Republican from Pasco. Newly elected Representative Brian Sandlin from Zilla, and Rep. Bruce Chandler, who has been serving the 15th district for more than 12 terms now. So he has been a long time server. The mayor and I have already met with this with the new delegation to us and continue to just create a good relationship with them, but also maintain our relationship with the 9th legislative district and keep them in the loop. We just met with Senator Schessler and had a great conversation with him this afternoon. All right, next. Here we go. Yep. So transitioning now to the city's legislative agenda development. The city's legislative agenda is a single page document that lists the city's top 2 to 5 priorities for the biennium. The purpose of having legislative priorities is to have a focused list of items for your state legislators, city staff, and myself to work on advancing. The legislative process is very fast paced. Many of you in this room have been there during session for a few days and know that, you know, we go from one 15-minute meeting to the next. We're sweating because we're running through the hallways. That's what they do every day for the next 105 days. So it is extremely busy. If there are too many legislative priorities, attention and focus will be divided and the likelihood of success decreases. So viable priorities also consider the current political environment and our issues that will have the greatest and most direct benefit to the city. So encompassing all of that, we want to make sure that we're hyper-focused on our priorities. We have two this upcoming session, but it ranges depending on what you all decide. So with that all in mind, we can go to the next slide. I know you all have an understanding of each item that is currently on the legislative agenda, so I'll just go over each one very briefly. The first item on the agenda is a request for $400,000. It's a capital budget request to begin the initial stages of developing a new water treatment plant facility. The city has come a long way, and with the ASR pilot study coming to a close, we're ready to ask for the state's partnership in this very large endeavor. So that'll be our first ask and top priority for this session. The next item is one that we weren't necessarily expecting to prioritize, but is necessary given the current circumstances. As you all know, the city received 3 different grants through the state's Recreation and Conservation Office for Lyons Park back in 2019-2021 biennium. There have been some delays with receiving those funds from RCO, which has created a $600,000 increase in the project due to inflation and many other things. And this was really out of the city's control. And at this point, the city needs this additional funding to provide all of the planned improvements to the park. So we will be asking the state to provide that additional $600,000 so we can proceed accordingly and get this project done and so the community can enjoy it. I'm excited to see it. So those two budget requests will be the city's main priorities for this session. Along with participating in any policy discussions throughout the legislative session. I'm prepared to continue to keep the city in the loop as the legislature continues to consider hundreds of bills. More so bills that that pertain to cities and local governments and how you all do your work day to day. So there will be many, many housing policy bills that will come before us. There will likely be a law enforcement vehicular pursuit bill that comes up again. So these types of legislation I know are important for you all to review. And if you decide to make any comments or have any input, that's why I'm here. That's why I'm there in Olympia every day and to represent you all and what you think and what your values are. So always there for that as well. And otherwise we'll just be monitoring and can weigh in accordingly. So we can go to the next slide. So hopefully that provides you with some context of what we expect for the 2023 session and how the city's legislative priorities fit into that. The legislature convened for committee days last week, which is really the start of their policy discussions and legislative work. And then bills will begin being pre-filed as early as right now, currently. Yep. So it's pretty quick. Everything comes very quickly. The holiday season is not long enough. And then, yep, before you know it, it's January 9th. But we'll continue between now and January 9th. We'll continue to meet with our legislators and we'll be having one-on-one conversations with them all, including the 9th, to discuss our two priorities. I'm hoping we will be able to schedule some time for those of you who are interested in making the trip to Olympia during the session. Typically, AWC Action, City Action Days they're in mid-February, I think they're scheduled for. And certainly you all can join that as well. It is usually pretty packed and hard to schedule meetings during that time. But if you'd like to do it then, that's fine. Or we can schedule a separate time and meet with our delegation then. But totally up to you, and I'm happy to schedule meetings when you all are ready to do so. Like I said, session begins on January 9th, and you can find me in the halls of the Capitol basically at all hours of the day. So I'm excited that we'll be in person and you all will be able to come visit. So that's kind of all I have for you tonight. And if you have any questions, please let me know. And you know where to find me. So feel free to reach out anytime. Thank you.
Thank you. Very good. Thank you.
Yeah, of course.
I think it's super ambitious to have a smile without going to session for 105 days.
You just got a smile through, right? Yeah.
That's all.
I couldn't live that life.
We have a tough enough time after 2 hours here, 3 times a month.
Moving to item 4B, last week we had a committee meeting with Valerie Hernandez, our park and rec coordinator, and she went over a revised 5-year fee schedule for parks and rec, and tonight Valerie is going to present that to the council as a whole.
Hello, Valerie. Good evening. I am Valerie Hernandez, your park and rec coordinator. I'm here to present the parks and recreation fee schedule we've been working on. The action required is a motion. The council is the authority to approve contracts, agreements, resolutions, and ordinances. The following changes are being presented to amend the current resolution of parks and recreation fees. The proposed changes are additions to the current fees. These fees are a result of the decision the city made to manage potential large increases in the future years. Committee believes that a small 2% increase should be imposed annually, and keeping the increase within the range creates a predictable schedule that is fair and reasonable for citizens of our community. So we can take a look at the chart that's listed on the agenda memo, and I'm going to go through and I'm going to list the 8 items I have listed here. So if you have any questions, we can ask afterwards if that is okay, because as we go through, I may answer those questions with our notes listed here. So first we have under location, we have facility item tournaments, leagues, and park events. And the item is tennis court rental, basketball court rental, skate park rental, and hockey rink rental. This overview suggests that we add this, that this is a new addition to the fee scale. We would like to have an option for the facilities to be utilized in the tournament capacity. This is a situation where community members or outside organizations may be interested in utilizing these facilities for future tournaments, and we'd like that to be an option. The expectations for new additions are listed with the option for light rental and without light rental where applicable. Number 2, facility item, tournament, league, and park events. The item is all youth sports, such as Little League, and there are different divisions there. We have flag football and soccer. The overview is we suggest that the facility name be updated to City Parks and Rec Youth League Fee. This is a language editorial update. Youth sports will have its own facility category. So that is only an editorial on that. Number three, facility item name, tournaments, league, and park events. The item is ballpark rental tournament. We suggest that the item name is updated to sports facility rental tournament. This is also a language editorial update. All sports will pay the same tournament rental fees. And this is if we are including the new additions to tennis courts, basketball, the park rentals, and the hockey rink. Number four, facility item name, tournament, league, and park events. The item is soccer field rental without lights and with lights. We suggest that the unit name be updated to per hour. This is a language editorial update. The unit per day has been edited to per hour for the rental. In this case, it will now be consistent with the other rentals we already currently have. Number five, facility item name, tournament, league, and park events. The item is ballpark rental league. We suggest that the item name be updated to sports rental league. This is a language editorial update. All sports will pay the same league rental fees. Number six, facility item name, Lions Park Shelter, Kiwanis Park Shelter, and Pioneer Park. The items are all shelters that have been previously listed on the resolution 2022-01. We suggest that the facility item name be updated to park shelters. This is also a language editorial update. The shelters shall be identified under the same facility category. That would be park shelters and itemized by park location. So that's just a change in editorial and how to itemize so that we can identify our locations of shelters as we receive them in the system. Number seven, facility item name, park shelter. Item, Tagaris Park Shelter. Overview, and we suggest this is a new addition. Now that we have Tagaris Park, we also have the two shelters out there. So the expectation is to be equal to all city park shelters, half day and full day rental options. And last, number eight, facility item, park shelter, which was previously listed on the previous fee schedule as Kiwanis Gazebo Shelter. The overview, we suggest to remove that because the shelter does not exist. So that is what we have on that chart. And by approving the recommended increases, the city will be able to recover a portion of the cost of providing parks and recreation services and offer recreational opportunities within our means. By approving editorials and language, the fee scale will be consistent and clear. So the council committee recommends the city council approve resolution 2022-23, adopting changes to the parks and recreation fee schedule for the next 5 years.
Spencer, will you bring up the resolution so we can look at the, just so the council and the public can see?
And most of the editorials will help us identify where things are in the organization of the charts. We had some things split up, but we categorized it to identify it so that it's in a bit clearer chart. Do we have any questions?
When was the last fee schedule updated?
The last fee schedule was updated in February 17, 2022, and that was just an item on the list. But previously, this was 5 years ago that they went across the board and updated the fee scale. So it has been looked at to identify it was the pool individual pass that was $95, and I believe they dropped it to $75 on that first page.
Individual season pass.
Yes.
Yeah, when we were in committee, I think there was just some confusion in the schedule as to, and that's why in that first attachment that Spencer showed, we had to do some language changes so we could make it consistent and people, not just staff, but the public would understand what it is, you know, what specifically we're talking about. Are you doing a tournament or are you just
game or practice? Yeah,
right.
Well, if the list is as clear as you've explained it, it should be pretty crystal.
Yeah.
It was a great job explaining that.
Yeah.
You know, thwarted a ton of questions that I had. Good job. It was great. It was awesome.
Thank you, Valerie. Any questions, City Council? All right. I'd entertain a motion to approve the resolution for the Park and Rec fee schedule for 2023 and the next 5-year plan.
Make a motion to approve the resolution 2022-23.
Second. 23-27.
And 4. Yeah. Yeah. The resolution 2022-23 adopting changes to the park and recreation fee schedule for 23 to 27. Yeah, that's
right. Okay. Second. All right. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you, Valerie. Now I'd like to move to item 4C, which is the adoption of ordinance 1588, the capital facilities plan, 6-year capital facilities plan. And the city's finance officer, Spencer Williams, is here to discuss that.
Thank you very much, Mayor and Council. Tonight is a big night, budget speaking. We have, tonight is the culmination of months of work by city staff and by council's time coming here, sitting down with staff and talking about priorities, talking about operational issues and talking about future capital needs of the city. And tonight I have 4 items on the agenda that are all budget related. 3 of those have ordinances, and they're all ordinances that will ultimately pass our new budget for the new year. Each one of these items, there shouldn't be any surprises on each one of these ordinances. Is one of my rules is not bring any surprises to council. It makes things go better. The very first item for your consideration is the capital facility plan. And this is a 6-year plan where we're looking at capital needs of the city. We include information from the water, sewer, street, the street improvement plan, the park plan. And we put all these items into one plan called the capital facility plan. And this is kind of a roadmap that helps us organize our efforts when we're looking into the future for capital projects and when we're looking for grant funding. At our last meeting, we had a public hearing where we discussed briefly some of the items in our capital facility plan. And prior to that, we've had some committee meetings where we discuss the items in this plan, line at a time. With that, if you have any questions, I can field those. If not, I would suggest that we move to adopt the capital facility plan.
City Council.
I'll make the motion to adopt the 2023-2028 capital facility plan ordinance.
Thank you.
I'll second that.
Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. When we adopt a new budget, we have to amend our 2022 budget. And so, Spencer, you have another ordinance for the council consideration.
Yes, this is our second ordinance, and this ordinance is a budget amendment to the 2022 budget. It's our first and only amendment that we've done to the 22 budget. If you'll remember back throughout the year, we've brought a number of different items to council for consideration and for approval, And this document here is a summation of all those items, and puts them all into one document. And we'll update, what this ordinance will do is update the 2022 budget ordinance with all of those discussions and all of those things that have been approved throughout the year. And on here, I have a list of every budget. This column here is every budget, the original budget. For those that have an amendment, that's in this column here. And then I give this our new proposed budget. And then I put some notes in the column over here to kind of walk through what those changes are and what they're reflecting. And again, nothing in that column should be a surprise. If you have any questions, we can talk about those, or we can move to approve this this ordinance.
Council.
Make a motion to adopt the ordinance amending the 2022 budget.
Second that.
Thank you. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Like to move to item 4E of our current business and open the public hearing, our second public hearing on the 2023 budget at 6:41 p.m. And Spencer, do you have a short?
Just really brief. We have, throughout the budget process, we're required to have a series of public hearings. And this is the final public hearing in the budget of budget adoption process. And so we've prepared the budget for our discussions here in council and our commissioners. And I submit that to you for your, well, I guess not yet. I'll turn the time back for you.
Okay, thank you.
Trying to jump the gun.
Right. Let's see if we have any public testimony. I'm going to open up this public hearing for public testimony. Is there anyone? A member of the public who has any comment about our budget for 2023. Okay. Hearing none. I'll close the public testimony. Council, do you need any additional information? Okay, I'm going to close this public hearing at 6:42 p.m. And now move to item 4F, which is adopting the ordinance for the 2023 budget. Spencer.
And this is the final budget item. This the attached ordinance will officially adopt our budget for 2023. As with any budgets, a budget is very much a living document. So as we adopt it tonight, changes are going to come in the new year. But I believe what we have put together collaboratively is a budget that meets the operational needs and the capital needs of the city. And we have a good place that we're starting from for our 2023 year. If you have any questions, I can take those, or the next form is to adopt the budget.
I had a comment, and
yes,
compliment for you, Spencer, and really for everybody, but I've gone through and go through many budget processes in my career, and this, for three budgets now, I think we've had a really streamlined budget process for the city, and these aren't just willy-nilly budgets. These are good, thought out, so thank you. I mean, these work well.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah.
It's very, and like you said, it's very much a collaborative effort. There's a lot of work by a lot of different people that come into putting something like this together. It is a complicated document, and but we're able to come together and put it together. So that's great.
Yeah, I want to thank Spencer. I also want to thank the department heads for their work and explanations to the council with regard to their proposed budgets. And I also want to thank the city council this 2023 budget is an ambitious budget that's designed to accomplish a lot of things this next year. I started making a list. I'm going to give this to Cheryl afterwards so that Cheryl doesn't have to write it down. We're going to finish the decorative street lighting project eastward down Main Street from 7th Avenue to 2nd Avenue with the Complete Streets grant. We're going to build and complete the brand new Lions Park Iron Horse Playground this next year. By the way, I just got contract documents Thursday, about near the end of the day. So that's now on track. We're going to construct a new four-court outdoor basketball court in Lions Park. We're going to work to obtain funding and land in order to complete our irrigation utility. We're doing some renovations and shelters in Lions and Tagaris Parks. New bathroom facility in Tagaris Park. Approximately $800,000 in new equipment purchases to assist Public Works in making them more efficient. We're going to take over the spraying of the city's right-of-ways, and that's a new direction that the City Council has directed staff to go in, and they've made provision by allocating budget for equipment. We're going to complete the City Hall remodel and council streaming capabilities, hopefully by the end of the year, but more likely it'll be sometime in early January. We're also going to establish a brand new municipal court for our citizens to adjudicate their infractions and misdemeanors and gross misdemeanors. We're going to do an additional sewer lining project. We're going to do additional major chip seal project again. We're going to do some significant upgrades to our HVAC system here at City Hall. We're going to do some upgrades to our park and rec building, with our CAMA systems throughout the parks. A number of IT expenditures to keep our data safe and running efficiently. We're going to replace 23 self-contained breathing apparatus outfits in containers for the fire department, and we're going to buy 5 new police vehicles. So when I say ambitious, and this is a lot of projects, this is a lot of things that the city is really, honestly, without the help of the City Council, without the help of department heads, without the help of additional funding, these things wouldn't be possible. So I just want to thank everyone for all the part that they played in this process to get us to today. And with that, is there any other comments anyone wants to make before we take the motion to approve our budget tonight?
I'm going to scoop up for the fire department. And I was absent this last meeting, but the one I was at before, we talked about breaking that up so that council had decided to push those 23
in the purchase. When we moved some things around, because we got rid of the compactor. So with that consideration going, we decided.
Like a bullet.
Get it done.
Okay.
That'll entertain a motion to approve our 2023 budget as presented.
I'll make that motion.
Second. Thank you. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. I'd like to move to item 5, unfinished business. Is there any unfinished business to come before the council tonight?
I have a question about some old business. Actually, it's kind of a question for Kirk. I'd like to know, and I don't have to give it tonight, but I'd like to have it in the next couple of minutes, what the plowing policy is and the salting policy for this week. Also, and something that I don't know if you thought about it, but maybe you want to think about it, but you don't. Have you ever thought about a grinding unit for spreading the salt brine instead of salting?
I have. The brine solution is not as effective as the salt, because you have to get it out sometimes 3 days before the freezing and the weather. But
yeah,
it's something we could think about, but it's not as aggressive as.
Well, I don't want to move backwards. So yeah. Okay, I didn't know anything about it, so yeah, I was gonna ask. So, okay, thanks.
Okay. Can we go to new business? We need new business to come before the council tonight.
Mayor. I just wanted to recognize and thank a few groups, the fire department and the police department. I want to say thank you to them for this weekend. They made it feel like a breeze. I could feel the support and how excited they were to just help and find more ways to help. So that was awesome. And then the public works department, they really came through. We were out in the cold all week long, cleaning up all the decorations. They were very supportive and helpful. The float, Jackie, Jedlin, Valerie, and all the public works staff put that together all in one day. By the time I showed up, it was almost done. So I'm very thankful for that. And then I just want to thank the city council for your support. I'm really grateful for you guys. So thank you.
Did you guys video it?
We didn't get videos here, but we have great pictures.
We didn't.
But we have great pictures.
You guys didn't do a drone and video the.
No, Abner's been out sick, and he's the one that usually does it.
Oh, someone had a drone, though.
I don't know who that was. There wasn't.
I've been waiting for it on Facebook.
Sorry, not this year. Next year.
It seemed like it grew this year over last year.
Really?
I don't know. What do you guys?
I thought the braid was definitely bigger. The braid was bigger. I feel like the cold didn't really keep people here. I felt like more people were sticking around last year, but overall, it's just becoming more successful and people are excited. So I'm excited. So thank you.
If you stood by the speaker, it was nice and warm.
Yeah.
I gotta say the Othello City float looked awesome. It did. But the people writing on the back didn't throw enough candy.
I'm giving you a bad time. I'm giving you a bad time today. I thought
you said a red slow book.
Nobody truly had enough this year.
The entries were more creative and people were getting more into it. So
ran out early.
That's my goal next year.
I had 8 Costco bags this year.
But people are starting to do more floats and trailers. So
good.
Hopefully we get that.
Yes,
it was
a fun time.
Yeah, there was quite a few floats. That was
good. Next year we'll be
really good. Time. Next time, turn the heat up, though. Money's no one.
I wish I could do that. It was cold.
It was cold. Sean's writing that down.
Yeah, it wouldn't be the same if it was warm.
Yeah.
The snow was nice. This was the first year with snow.
Yeah. Another new business, the Shop with a Cop program is going to take place a week from Saturday. Received some funding from actually the fire department and from private businesses and donors. So that program is going to take place. Thank you, Chief. The Rotary Club is inviting to join them at their Rotary holiday dinner. They have some good entertainment, a fine dinner lined up, and they want to invite some of our friends and neighbors to come and share a fun evening. That dinner will be at the Ironworks on Broadway on December 16th. Social hour begins at 5:30. Don Burks is here with us tonight. He would appreciate if you could text him to be sure that they can set out enough plates. So his text or his cell is 509-980-1802. Then want to appoint a committee tonight. They handed out the City of Obello communication plan proposal. Basically, the elections are over, and the city would like to strengthen our communications with our stakeholders, being the electorate or the citizens of the community, the Adams County commissioners, law enforcement, school district, the port, the business community, and our economic development partners. And to that end, I would like to appoint a city council committee to work together on a communication plan with a goal to improve our communication and relationships with these entities. And so the committee's purpose is to figure out what is this plan and what is it going to be, and how are they going to implement this plan. And then they'll come back to the city council for us to discuss it and ultimately approve it. And they will then select four community members to this committee will then become members of that committee with four community members of their selection, and they'll make presentations to the stakeholders and then accomplish the purposes that this communication plan, which is designed to do, again, to develop better working relationships with different entities within the community. So to that end, I'd like to ask, first of all, John Lawless, do you want to participate in this? And Danae, would you like to participate in this? And Gina, would you like to participate? Okay. I'd like to appoint them to this this committee to develop a City of Obello communication plan. And with that, I don't believe we have any other business. And having no further business to discuss, I will adjourn tonight's meeting at 6:57 p.m.